Good evening, this is KD2 AIT, Net Control for the Black River Valley ServiceNet. My name is Jeff. This net is held every evening at 9 p.m. on the Boomerang Radio Club repeater on frequency 146.655 MHz. The repeater is located 2.5 miles southwest of Boomerang on Jackson Hill. This is an informal net, and all interested parties welcome to check in with or without traffic. Emergency traffic has priority at all times, to break in at any time. Is there any emergency traffic? Amateur Radio Club's next monthly meeting will be this Tuesday, November 17th at 7 p.m. at the Dodge Pass Northern Art Community Center, 16 South Street in Boomerang, New York. Everyone is welcome to attend. Amateur Radio license is not required to become a member. If you're interested in becoming a net controller, please contact a club member. We can set that up. Should a net controller not start the net at 9 p.m. and still has not done so after a couple of minutes, please feel free to conduct the net yourself. You'll find the net preamble on our website at www.boomerangarc.com. Are there any portable, battery-powered, or mobile stations wishing to check in? Are there any Echolink stations wishing to check in?
This is Kilo, Delta 2, Foxtrot, Papa Mike, Kevin James, checking in through Echolink from Oneonta, New York. Good evening, and I believe I'm the only one in the queue so far.
KD2FPM, good evening. What's going on tonight?
Hey, good evening, and a good evening to everyone up in the North Country. KD2FPM out here in the central southern tier. Just settling in for the evening. I've been playing with some more radio stuff here today myself, just kind of rearranging my configs in my radios, so no matter what radio I touch, it has the same channel number. That way everything makes sense when I go from one radio to another. So, and on a good note, tomorrow night, the Oneonta Amateur Radio Club will be having their monthly meeting down here at the Fox Care Center, Route 7 east of Oneonta. If anyone is interested in upgrading their license or actually even getting a license, we will actually be offering a VEC session tomorrow. Let's see here, 7 o'clock, and basically just show up, and we've got the team ready to roll. I know there's going to be at least one candidate that will be testing for his tech level here in our area, so you know the old saying, the more the merrier. So keep that in mind. And we do monitor the 146.850 that's PL'd at 167.9, and it's a negative offset on that. So I'll stay back after just in case anyone has any questions or needs fills. Until then, KD2FPM, 73, back to net control.
All right, Kevin. Well, thanks for checking in, and good luck at the movie tomorrow. Not the movie, the meeting. I'm sorry. Where my head's at today. I was just thinking that I'm not going to be able to make our meeting. I have to pick someone up at the airport. So, anyway. All right, Kevin. Thanks for checking in. Have a good evening. We'll catch up with you later. Let's see. You are the last one in the Echolink queue, so... KD2AIT, Net Control for the Black River Valley ServiceNet. I'll now take calls from regular members and guests.
N2PFM, good evening, Jeff.
KC2NBU, good evening, Jeff.
All right, there's two. We'll start with N2PFM. George, good evening. What's going on?
Well, good evening to everybody on the net. We got a temperature here of 40 degrees on the mountainside. Temperature range today was 31 to 51, and we did have a fair amount of sunshine, and about an hour after it had been sunrise this morning, like by about 9:30 or so, the batteries got charged up here on the solar thing, and in another day I was going to have to put everything on the NIMO power, but... just in time, the sun rescued that, and we're on the solar power there again for most of the electric in the house, except for the real heavy usage things. We're on 220 things and that, so I keep a clock on there too on one of the things that's on the 9-mile power, so I can always tell if the 9-mile power's on or off. And it's especially good on things like when we had the windstorm or we get some heavy lake effect and wind and whatever. And with that, we'll say God bless in 73 then too, PFM clear.
Solar panels we have up there at camp, they got hurt pretty good this last couple of weeks, and had a lot of usage up there, not a lot of sun, and it was nice to see on our way out today that the panels were in a good charging mode anyway, so hopefully they got topped off today before the clouds came in. Sorry, they got a few days here, I won't be taxing them, so anyway, alright, thanks George, have a good evening, we'll catch up with you later. KC2MBU, Ray, what's going on?
We got 40 degrees up here on the hill. I've been playing with relocating the hot water heater and made the mistake of trying to reuse some of the copper elbows. And of course, the one that I reused leaked. And I resoldered the top where it leaked, and then the bottom started to leak. And I resoldered the bottom, and then the top leaked. What a mess. And, took it all apart again. Cleaned everything up, put it all back together again, now it works.
Well, funny how that works. Well, I can't stand anything to do with plumbing of any kind. I tell you, those guys, they charge a lot of money, and I think they're worth every penny of it. I can't see for the life of me how anybody can put up handling on that stuff. Some of the most frustrating work out there. All right, Ray. Thanks for checking in. You have a good evening. KD2AIT, are there any other check-ins?
KC2WI.
KC2WI, Pete, good evening. What's up?
It's 38 degrees here. It was a pretty nice day. I really didn't get out. I had all intentions of getting out, but I got a little sidetracked this morning on follow-up stuff from the big COMEX and some emails and stuff. And then somewhere along the line, I don't know, maybe 10, I was on the HF on a North Country group until maybe 9:30. Quarter to 10, something like that. And then I don't remember if I checked into the MarsNet this morning or not, but yeah, I think I did at 9:30. Somewhere around in there I went to pick up my cordless phone that I have in the kitchen. And I noticed that the it wasn't charging. The light wasn't on. So, what's going on here? It's not sitting in the cradle, right? What's going on? No, that's not it. Did the plug get pulled out? No, that seems okay. Oh, nothing else on that outlet is on either. What's going on here? Well, I went down the basement, flipped the circuit, you know, there was a trip breaker. I attempted to turn it on, pop right back off. So then I get out my chart. What else is on that breaker? Well, outlet in the kitchen. So I go and unplug everything there. Plug the clock and light and variac that controls my fan to blow this hot air in the living room. Well, hot is a too strong of a word, but warmer air from the back when the stove is on, when the wood stove is on. And now, of course, none of that's a problem, and it's the refrigerator. Oh, great. So I sort of doing three things at once here. I said, well, I'm going to have to look at this pretty quick here. I had an email I was working on, doing some tabulation and so on and so forth, and it took a lot longer than I wanted. But anyway, then I went back to the refrigerator. You know, I got on the internet, Google, you know, or I don't use Google unless I don't get results with DuckDuckGo. Anyway, searched, you know, refrigerator, blowing circuit breakers, something. Just let's see, give me some ideas here because, you know, and I didn't really come up with anything too good. I looked at a couple, you know, the usual non-answer, totally non-technical answers, you know. So I pulled it out, you know, cleaned out the dust behind it, cleaned the floor and all that. What can you do, you know? Tap on the motor, tap on the starter, stuff like stupidly simple things like that. Just take a look. Nope, that didn't do it. Pop the circuit breaker again. Oh, maybe it's a bad breaker. Let's plug it in the other side of the other outlet and pop that one right away too, so no such luck there. So then I went back and looked and somebody said, I had it turned out to be the defroster. Defrost circuit. Oh, okay. I've had issues with that, with a timer and stuff. So I disassembled, you know, the cover net and unhooked the timer. And of course, you could plug the refrigerator in, but since the timer's not connected, the only thing that happens is the light turns on when you open the door. After some research, of the pinout and a little sort of common sense, figured it out that what the defroster timer is, it's a 12-hour clock, and every 12 hours it goes to a spot where it flips a single pole double throw relay and turns power off to the compressor, turns power on to the defroster for half an hour or something, and then it flips back. So after researching the 250 spade connectors and plugged it into the common female and the compressor female spade connector in the connector, and there we go, we're back online. So I got a bad shorted out the heating element, I guess. So I'm figuring wait till we get real cold weather. So I take everything out of the refrigerator and put it outside when it's 10 degrees out. Then I'm going to take the thing apart and look at the thing and see if I can figure out what the part is, because I can't find any kind of parts list that really correlates online. All these parts places want to sell you stuff, but it's really just tough. It's an old refrigerator, so I'm going to call the guys in Lowellville there and see if they can cross-reference the part and can they get me what they guarantee is the right part, and how much will it cost? Probably $30, you know, or $50. And that's cheaper than $500 or so for a new refrigerator. From everything I hear from everybody I talked to the last time I had some issues, and of course it was the timer, which I fixed, they said, yeah, we got a new one. Yeah, their efficiency rating is really way, way, way higher. Maybe you get a $50 rebate if there's some deal going on from the government. But the refrigerator only lasts 10 years, so they're junk compared to the old one. So I decided not to buy a new one. Anyway, that was my delaying ordeal of the day for 2 hours, and I finally didn't really get out till after 2:30. And that's a long story too. But I really didn't get much done. I got a load of wood in the trailer, but not out of the trailer and stacked. Loading it in the trailer is not so bad, but stacking it, you know, you try to be a little careful and get the pile stacked so it's solid, and maybe you do a little cross-stacking on the ends, and man, it could take a long time. So that was the long story of the day. And hopefully we'll see. I heard you say you weren't going to be there, but hopefully we'll have enough people at the Boonville Radio Club meeting Tuesday night. And of course, I'm getting ready for Digital Communications Workshop here in Lowellville on Thursday night. KC2WI.
Pete. Well, good luck with that. I know my refrigerator here went out a while back. Motherboard went out in it. And I always had problems with that refrigerator, and we had like a power surge, and the motherboard died out, and I got a new motherboard. They sent me one for free because there was a recall on the other motherboard. So, boy, the thing never worked. It was like getting a brand new refrigerator. It never worked so well. And anyway, all right, have a good one. We'll catch up with you later. That's KD2AAT. Are there any other check-ins? Well, for myself, we got up today, and we did a little bit of hunting there with my son, and he didn't see anything, so what are you going to do? We got back here, and we did a couple little projects here and there, and then just kind of watch a little TV, and that's what I'm doing now, getting ready to do after the net here, and start the work week tomorrow. That's about all I got to report. This is KD2AIT. Are there any other check-ins for the Black River Valley Service Net? Comments, queries, or late check-ins at this time?
AC2WI.
Go ahead, Pete.
Have you seen this? This is an article in EE Times, but it's citing a book I think is called New Vistas in Nanoelectronics, looks at the state-of-the-art. Nanoelectronics, but its most significant finding is that is at the global scale, that unless changes are made in the proliferation of nanoelectronics, this is a bad sentence. Well, is set to produce blackout failures of the internet by 2020 due to lack of electrical power. In short, the global population's eagerness to get itself and everything it owns online is leading to a data explosion that is consuming 40% more power every year, and the internet's power demand could soon rival the world's available power resources. This is leading to fears of major internet blackouts by as soon as 2020. Well, it just sounds like blackouts if it's consuming all the power. It's interesting, whether it's realistic or not, but I can believe it. You know, the article I read before this was How Camera Phones Changed the World. They're talking about the huge, massive, growth of camera phones, and in the last 15 years, there was no such thing 20 years ago. There was a concept, but nobody thought it was of any value. And there's a chart in here. One of the things is it shows the peak in 2011 or something. It's on another page of sales of digital cameras, standalone digital cameras, and then it's just taken an absolute nosedive. And they said even the sort of high end SLR digital cameras sales have gone way down. KZ2WI.
Well, I can believe some of it anyway, but I always find that when there's a need, there's somebody who's going to fulfill it. So at some point, they'll need more power, and somebody's going to make it. That's all there is to it. So we make more power today than we ever have, and that's probably going to be true tomorrow and the next day. So, but we'll see. And the camera on my phone is more than I need. My wife has a digital camera, but most of the time we never use it. In fact, she was going down on vacation there for a little bit, and she's like, "You think I should bring this?" I'm like, "I don't know." So I can see the digital camera sales are probably taking a hit. The ones that come on your phone are pretty powerful. All right, are there any other comments, queries, or late check-ins?
N2PFM for KC2WI.
Go ahead, George.
Thank you, KC2WI from N2PFM.
Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, this digital thing, is there going to be anything about the reception of APCO P25?
No, it has nothing to do with that. It's using the it's called NBEMS, Narrowband Emergency Messaging System suite of software, but it's FLDigi primarily, and which is a really nice digital mode program that will do virtually all the ham digital modes out there. It'll do CW. It'll send and receive CW, radio teletype, but all the new modes: PSK31, MT63, Olivia, Contestia, MFSK16. Thor, Throb, all these things. I mean, it's amazing, and you can use it. You can use it on any radio in the world, basically, because most of these modes are robust enough, and the signal processing is good enough on receive that you can actually just take the computer's microphone, stick it up by the radio speaker to receive, and when you're going to transmit, you just take your radio microphone, stick it to the computer speaker, hold the push-to-talk button and click on transmit. And so you can use it on 2 meters, FM, AM, sideband, whatever. You could use it on a FRS radio. You could use it, I don't think it's probably legal, but you could use it, I don't think digital is legal on a CB, but you could use it, it would work. CB, FRS, GMRS, MERS, marine band, any voice, any radio, over the telephone, anything. And what we do in the workshop is people bring in their laptops if they want, or netbooks or whatever they got. If somebody wants to haul a whole computer in there and set it up, that's fine. And we go through installing the software and the initial configuration with your call sign and stuff, and then we kind of send and receive some messages. So that's what it is. P25, good luck with that. You got to get a P25 scanner, and then if it's not encrypted, you'll be okay, I guess.
Okay, that's a roger. I kind of thought so, but I wasn't certain about you thought this digital thing. I thought there might have been something there. All right, well, thanks. God bless the 73s. N2PFM clear.
Are there any other comments, queries, or check-ins? Hearing none, I'll now close the Black River Valley service net and turn the frequency program to you. So I'd like to thank Kevin, George, Ray, and Pete for checking in tonight, and say 73s to anyone listening in. This is KD2AIT, clear.
This is KD2FPM. I'll be clearing this repeater through the Echolink system. As always, thank you for use of Echolink. I appreciate it very, very much. Hopefully we'll catch you guys, if not tomorrow, definitely Tuesday night, because like I said, I'm going to be at our Oneana Amateur Radio Club tomorrow night for our meeting. So until then, I will say 7-3, KD2FPM is clear.
Traffic and emergency net.
looking for stations that would like to check in tonight, with or without traffic. All stations are welcome. And please wait till the tail drops on your repeater, the usual routine here. Stations, come in, please.
KC2NBU, good evening, no traffic.
Okay, well, the Manchester 655 decided to ID at the wrong time. But I did get KC2NBU, good evening, Ray. Any other stations that came in, or any additional stations that would like to check in? Let's try again after the tail drops. Any other stations for our 10 tonight, with or without traffic? After the tail drops. Okay, thanks for the check-in, very much appreciated. 7-3, have a good evening, good day tomorrow. KA2 that answer.